You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Greg Cody just got done saying that it hurts him to laugh because of the way his mustache is glued on. So we will try to not make him laugh for the remainder of the show.
It's very itchy, it looks like, huh?
Yeah, on my nostrils, yeah.
Saturday Night Live has now lost an eighth cast member before its 48th season.
Yeah.
Chris Redd is leaving the show. Can a show, that's an amazing run for a television show, the idea that you would be able to go half a century existing. But as streaming and entertainment fracture these things, I don't want to have the old conversation about when was the last time Saturday Night Live was good. A lot of people have complained about that, and it has existed for 48 years, but it's harder to do comedy successfully in a weekly variety show format than it's ever been because you have so many competitors. You saw what Amazon did with the football space. It seemed like they've been doing it for years. It is not as easy to make something look as easy as Amazon made it look when it's that giant of a production, when you're putting on a football show for many hours live on television. And what you can't have happen is do it differently in a way that shows the mistakes that you're not used to getting on all the other broadcasts where you just don't see a whole lot of mistakes. I mean, you notice when it seems like Dan Orlovsky has sneezed and farted because of how pristine these broadcasts are. Who was it who seemed to fart on the set of Fox this week? And I think everyone's going to assume it's Bradshaw. But these broadcasts tend to otherwise be clean. And I ask you of Saturday Night Live, rather than just the complaint, when was the last time Saturday Night Live was any good? I ask you, can that kind of show compete in today's market? Or does it have to be like, I think you should leave now and not weekly, not live, that you have too many competitors in all of these spaces for a show like Saturday Night Live to ever be able to exist again for 50 years on television?
No, I think there's plenty of space for SNL to pop on social media the way that some other sketch shows might have a little bit more success lately. It just has to be really good. I think they got into a good groove a couple of years ago and they kind of got away with that. I think Bussin' with the Boys actually put out a video of this comedian. I think his name is Steve Byrne. And he actually had a theory that made me think a little bit, that SNL has gotten away from these character-driven sketches. Remember all the spinoffs that their sketches would do, whether it be the Roxbury Boys or It's Pat, or Mary Catherine Gallagher. They had all these tentpole attractions. and these characters that you would love, and every couple of times they'd pop up during a season. And now those characters just exclusively live inside of Weekend Update. And most of the sketches on that show revolve around a concept rather than really letting certain performers shine. And therefore, you get less stars because you're not associating them with the characters they play. It's yes, I understand that everybody has this debate generationally. SNL was never as good as I was growing up, and I think some of that is lazy. But I do think that the show has taken a different approach that has pushed some people away and made that actually a true statement, people longing for older days.
I ask you the question because Lorne Michaels has been a comedy god that not just spinoffs of movies, that place has been a hub for comedic talent, introducing you to funny pre-internet, and that too will age. If comedy has trouble aging, even Lorne Michaels, the greatest who's ever done it at the making of this kind of thing.
Yeah, he's always like the man in charge, but it always changes depending on who the cast members are, who the writers are. Digital shorts, like, that's something that was always pitched to Lorne Michaels, kookier cast members, younger ones. What I'm sad about is some of those, like, really different voices have since left the show, so it's going to have to once again rebuild and find a new rhythm, and that takes time, especially if you're not doing the character-driven sketches as much. Your connections to the cast members dissipate.
But also, I do think in the era of TikTok and Instagram Reels, it's really difficult to top that in terms of short-form comedy. And also, there are so many more hacks because you're just swiping all the time. So if you don't find something funny, you're on to the next. Whereas Saturday Night Live can do a 7-minute sketch and none of it's funny. And so in an era of short-form comedy, also fairly low resource. I actually think viewers of, you know, younger people like things that are a little bit more raw. It's not perfectly produced in a studio and it's well lit and there's thousands of people working to make the show look good. It's just one person being funny, and it has a much higher success rate because they're taking more hacks.
The reason that I ask you all that I'm asking you about a show that seems from a different time that is trying to keep up with the changes 47 seasons in is because whether it's Rob Delaney or Andrew Schultz, this is becoming a meritocracy where comedy, we will find you if you're funny. We will find you. We'll find you and give you a career and a following if you're funny. But now it's everywhere. You get to make your choices. Your menu is everyone in the world who's trying to be funny. That's what Saturday Night Live is competing against. That's what late night television is competing against. They've got all the resources in the world. They have the ability, the reach, the platforms to get it to you that are easier, but it's more of a democracy than it's ever been. The people will choose on funny, and it's available to everyone. Everyone who wants to take a hack at it, the following is available to you if you're funny.
And the people willing to produce your ideas are out there, whereas before, you wouldn't want to leave SNL. You'd only leave SNL if you had like 2 or 3 movies that were proven box office. There were people that were on SNL that were bankable box office stars when it was really rolling. And now you have featured players willingly leaving the show because they're pursuing other opportunities because there's so many content creators out there willing to fund your idea.
I also don't think, and maybe this is just sort of a myopia prisoner of the moment, but I don't think there's ever been a wider gap in what people find funny, right? You mentioned two people that have drastically different senses of humor that appeal to a vastly different audience. I think it's difficult for Saturday Night Live in an era of social media where it's algorithm driven. If you like this, we'll give you more of it, to cast a wide enough net for millions of people to find something funny. I don't know if that has always been the case, but it seems harder now.
How far are we, whether I'm, you know, Blair Witch Project was made on, you know, pre-internet shitty camera equipment. How far are we from somebody being able to make the full-length movie that grabs everyone's attention but is just made on their own super guerrilla style, just total democracy? I don't need studios. I don't need Lorne Michaels. I don't need anybody. I'm going to beat the system with no support to just creatively make something that's funny on the cheapest of resources because I'm interested in getting in this game and I'm going to make it maximum meritocracy.
It wasn't funny, but we just kind of had that with Maverick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One person in the face of all of the industry saying, I'm going to rise above and people are going to find this.
Yeah.
You can make movies on your iPhone now. Like our old show camera for our social bits was just an iPhone and it was edited and no one knew the difference. Like iPhones are really good now.
I would say that comedy in general, when's the last movie that really captivated people, that was a blockbuster comedy, that was one of these generational blockbuster comedies that people point back to. Like, where's the latest Anchorman? It's a harder time as we have changed politically, as movements have come, and comedy has kind of changed. What's funny, you look back at some of the comedies that you knew and loved from when you were in college or when you were younger, you watch them back and you realize, oh man, they can never make this today. I don't even find this funny today. It seems as though the studios are finding it difficult to make something with mass appeal. A lot of those big blockbuster movies had really low-hanging fruit jokes that made fun of people that were marginalized, unfairly, treated poorly, and now they're struggling to be funny with the new ground rules.
Which you include Tropic Thunder in that.
That was a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
Hangover's the last one, right?
And do you think they make Tropic Thunder now?
No.
See?
No.
Like, it's difficult. There aren't the big blockbuster comedy that people go to the movie theaters for. It's hard to find now.
Has there been one since Hangover? Is there one that you're talking about? Is it all so fractured that word of mouth comedy, that it's been how many years? You're talking about a decade since a word of mouth comedy made its way through that came close. No, nothing came close to Maverick, but just made everyone laugh in a way that was communal. Or you're saying it's not even possible for creators?
I'm saying the proof is in the pudding. They're having difficulty doing it. And plus the pandemic, people weren't really greenlighting those ideas because people didn't necessarily want to laugh. But now comedies are going to the streamers. They're not releasing big budget comedies. The big budget comedy star, like, where's the Jim Carreys? Where's the Will Ferrells? They haven't been replaced. They're still those guys, and they're making more serious projects right now.
SNL needs to create one of those guys, right? The new cast of SNL needs to have the Jim Carrey, the guy that we're going to watch in their premiere and instantly go, wow, where's he been in my life? He's really good, or she's really good.
But it can be anyone now. You don't need Saturday Night Live. Joe Rogan.
It could be someone on TikTok.
It used to be right. Johnny Carson. Now it's Joe Rogan, a place for comedians.
Hey, guys, people are stumped back here looking for a big, popular, recent comedy that grabbed people. I think maybe you can make an argument for Palm Springs, and I know saying that, most of you don't even know what I'm talking about or really how to find it. It's not being made anymore.
Hangover was 2013. Sorry about that.
$5.
Hangover really? Hangover was 2009, by the way.
2009? That's $10 because I read the internet wrong.
Yeah, the sequel came out in 2011. I'm looking at the top grossing comedies of all time. Honestly, the last big one, this is going to sound ridiculous, but was the sequel to 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, came out in 2014. That honestly might be the last big box office comedy.
I'd make an argument for Deadpool. I'd make an argument that Deadpool was this action comedy, and that was 2016. The sequel came out in 2018, and they're having a really hard time finding out how that fits with the Disney-fied Marvel Cinematic Universe right now. They've committed to making another one, but even if you look back at the first Deadpool, how is that going to fly? And it leans on action as kind of this crutch. The big budget summer blockbuster comedy, that day has died.
Dead.
It's dead.
Yep.
Not a hot take. It's been dead for about a decade.
Also dead, evidently, is Stugatz even bothering to reach into his pocket to...
I have no money, Dan.
...pay the fines.
Yeah. I mean, I have no money. You owe $100, so I don't know.
I already put it in. It was
you put a hundy in there?
Who carries cash anymore?
No one does. The kids laugh at me.
The tip jar is filled. That punishment jar is filled with a great deal of money.
Nowadays, you Zell your fine money to the bucket. Zelling it.
Little Venmo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do either of you know how to do that?
Nope.
No. My wife does. Thank God. I just stopped writing checks a week ago.
Really?
Seriously.
Last week, huh?
It's a sad day.
I always used to still write checks to a couple of people who were in my orbit. And just recently, I said to him, do you have Venmo or Zelle or something? I didn't know how to spell Zelle. I didn't know there was an E on the end. He said, yes. And from now on, my wife Zelles him the money. And I'm still so nervous about the concept that I text him afterward and saying, you should now have the blank amount of money.
Right.
Even though I probably don't need to.
No, you need to in Zelle because, I mean, I don't want to besmirch the good name of Zelle, but you need to in Zelle because if you get that number wrong, Like, there's no consequences. They can't get the money back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
there's no getting it back.
There's no, like, it happened because someone Zelled my wife like $500 and they're like, hey, we missed by a number. Like, can you please Zell it back to us? And we're like, we're going to talk to the bank about this. Like, I don't know what kind of scam this is. But yeah,
thank you for that, Billy.
If you send it to the wrong number, there's no getting it back. You just need the other person to kind of be nice and give it back to you.
Wow.
How do you know you just stopped writing checks if it happened last week? Like, it's not long enough to decide that you've stopped forever.
Yeah, did you say as you were writing it, this is the last one?
This
yeah.
is it. There was only one person in my life that I wrote a check for every other week. And a couple of weeks ago, we began Zelling.
Huh. Fascinating. Who is that person?
Fascinating story.
It's a fascinating story.
Is. Who is that person is the follow-up question.
Yes. The person you were writing checks to.
I assume Bookie.
No, I mean, I don't want to give away my business.
You don't want to just tell us
what it's business.
Services you were getting for this check?
It's a person who's kind enough to come make my house look better every couple of years.
He doesn't want
week.
To say that he has a housekeeper.
I mean, you know.
Doesn't. By the way, there
is Steve Harvey. Of course I got a housekeeper. Are you kidding me? I got him for all my houses.
There is a hot rumor that that Keenan is always being asked about. There's several news articles. There's a hot rumor that SNL is rumored to wrap after its 50th season, that Lauren doesn't want to continue doing it.
And yeah, I'm not surprised.
Fall 2024.
They're wheezing.
That after Lauren turns 80, he's kind of done with it.
What else has he got going
on? It's also kind of selfish to not let the brand continue after he leaves it.
This is pretty wild, this movie thing. I'm just going down a rabbit hole. No good comedies.
You should talk to Adnan about it.
It's weird.
Curious to know what his take is.
Good maybe idea. Mike Schur. I mean, that would have been a good guy to.
No, sure. No, I just want to
like an SNL.
Do you guys agree with me on Lorne Michaels compiler? Like one hit wonder. It's Saturday Night Live. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse with time. He's done nothing else. Everyone praises him. King of comedy.
That's not
please.
Fair. I just put on a good show for the people. It's not fair what you're doing right now.
He's the executive producer of all the NBC late night shows.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Spun off like a bunch of movies.
Who cares?
Seems hands off.
Name one.
It's a fair comment by Stu Gatz.
Mm-hmm. Name a movie
he
hit
on something.
Name a late night, NBC show that you're glued to all the time.
Well, that he's hands on.
That he was hands on. Was Tonight Show? He was
Lauren Evergreen.
The Tonight Show. Like,
no.
Conan.
There is more than I've ever seen.
He's the biggest kingmaker in comedy.
It's not just around here. The flouting of ignorance to dismiss the expertise of others is. Might not be a recent phenomenon, but the flouting of one's own ignorance. When people criticize, for example, Bill Maher and Dave Chappelle, who leave themselves open to criticism with, what has he ever done? Yeah. Like, this is...
I did one thing.
Can't do that with Lorne Michaels. Yeah.
You just slap a name on something, and it's like, oh, EP, perfect.
Give me your top five Lorne Michaels movies. Go ahead.
You're
going
to keep asking questions until you get to be right about this.
The Roxbury.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to need
World 1 and 2.
Two was a little
He's not
messy.
Even the most famous Lauren in entertainment.
Exactly.
Who's the most
famous? No, he's going to go bonanza. He loves going.
Lauren Green.
He loves bonanza. Going. He loves going. Lauren, he loves making references to bonanza.
Lauren did it year after year.
Billy, how do you feel? Hey. Steve, do me a favor. Go sit in the penalty box. Go sit in the penalty box, Steve, because it's too many bonanza references from you, and I just want the visual of Steve Harvey in the penalty box.
Didn't he do Three Amigos? I learned a bit of trivia that Lorne Michaels wrote Three Amigos with Randy Newman.
Stugatz, you go sit with him.
What are you talking?
I want
it's
you
Dan.
Both
well,
in there.
Picture day, I got Dan. News for you. It's picture day. There's no penalty box.
Yeah. All right.
Is that right? What you got?
We don't have. All right, go sit on the therapy couch.
What? Oh
go
my
sit
God.
Somewhere else. Go sit in the kitchen. Go sit somewhere else, both of you.
Me?
Billy, how do
I'm
you
Steve
feel?
Harvey.
How do you feel about?
We got a good one today, folks. Got two great families here today.
Stop doing that.
Jackie. Tua. Tua Licious.
The what family?
I want Bimbo. Give me Bimbo. Give me Tua Licious.
Show me Bimbo.
He is wedded to this horrible Steve Harvey impersonation.
That scares his soul.
Well, it's not bad enough. When I was told he was coming in as Steve Harvey, I'm like, wait a minute. Let's all be very careful here. Somebody tell me, please, that he didn't get any of the memos of why there hasn't been a great comedy in 10 years. Please.
But we can't get him off the voice, but thankfully it's such a bad impression that it's fine. Yeah.
His suit's green, so it's like
his suit's green. That's right.
It's going through his suit.
The green screen.
He's got a charcoal colored suit.
Wait, Greg. Yeah. Oh.
How do you feel?
Why does he look like Morpheus?
he looks like
Morpheus now.
Yeah, he should have a penalty box colored suit is what he should have on.
Chris Cody had such a great reference.
Don't do a Morpheus voice.
Referring to him as Tony Clifton, the alter ego of Andy Kaufman as performed by Jim Carrey. Let's do the useless sound montage here, Billy. How do you feel about what you've put together this week? I'm sorry that you're still doing this. I don't want this for you or your life. You're a father now. You need peace in your life. This is a daily or a weekly undertaking that is a real suffering.
I had a little bit of help this week, Dan, I'll have you know, and it's done.
Any stars that we need to know about? Anybody new to the mix? Was it a good batch, did you feel like? Or was it just an eternal hell sorting through all of the press conferences?
It wasn't a bad batch. We do have a couple new stars. We have a couple new faces. We have Nathaniel Hackett joining the fray. Is that what you joined the fray? He's joined the fray, Nathaniel Hackett.
I'm surprised that none of you made fun of Tony for his top five, again, being super obvious in all of the week storylines.
Is that directed at me in particular? As being the one to undercut Tony. I'll tell you what happened right beforehand. What happened was Chris Cody turned to me and said, how many times over under Billy undercuts Tony today in the top five? And I said,
it was set at a half.
I said, over. Zero. Over. I have self-control. And I was there. I was rooting him on. I wanted him to succeed. And it was there.
Tua has the juice, though, and the top five storyline.
That's not debatable that Tua has the juice, Dan. We don't need to get that started. I'm telling you, my jersey's going to get here from Doral in the next day or two.
There might be something about Cooper Rush, though. I think that one was right.
There might be.
Come on.
Have you seen the primetime quarterbacks that are playing this week?
Already?
You can make an argument that Cooper Rush might be the best one because you have Trubisky versus Jacoby Brissett on Thursday. Sunday Night Football is Jimmy Garoppolo versus Russell Wilson. And Monday Night Football is Danny Dimes versus Cooper Rush. It's not a stretch to say.
Cooper Rush is not the best of that bunch.
Better than Russell. We're doing this already.
Jimmy
whoa. I saw Cooper Rush move the ball effectively against the AFC champion. I saw Russell Wilson struggle against the Houston Texans.
How great is Jimmy Garoppolo's contract, by the way?
So good.
He gets $250,000 for every game where he takes over 25% of the snaps, which is now every game, and then an extra $100,000 every time they win.
I could do a show about whether Jimmy Garoppolo was happy that Trey Lance got hurt.
Well, the Niners should be happy. I think they caught a break with this Trey Lance thing, honestly.
Literally.
Because literally. What? Their Super Bowl price has improved after that Trey Lance injury. We all saw it. Trey Lance, they've been trying to crown Trey Lance and have him earn that job away from Jimmy Garoppolo. We have not seen it yet. We know what the Niners are.
We saw
some of it last year, too. Yeah. We saw some of it last year, too. It's just we haven't really seen it in preseason either. We know what the Niners are.
He had some bad weather in those first two games. I know that's kind of an excuse.
I understand, but why is the market telling you that their chances are improved with Jimmy Garoppolo? We know exactly who the Niners are. With Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. That was a team that was a throw that he missed to win a Super Bowl. That was a team that dropped an interception against Matthew Stafford that would have made it to another Super Bowl. With Trey Lance, I don't have the evidence that they're that good.
When George Kittle is healthy, when that team is healthy, we have seen them be very good.
That was really unfortunate for Trey Lance. So as we try to make the evaluation on him, he didn't have what was afforded to Jimmy Garoppolo, which was generally a healthy George Kittle.
Was the conversation in the kitchen yesterday about Trey Lance, is that a public conversation or a private conversation?
Well, I mean, it's out there. The people are doing the take comparison stuff, as they often do with Colin Cowherd, as sometimes his takes don't necessarily age well, or he ends up taking the opposite side so he can claim that he is right or wrong. For those that don't know, it was long rumored that Colin Cowherd's daughter was dating Trey Lance at the time that Trey Lance was drafted. And he had a lot of pro Trey Lance takes. And there's a video of that, him being super excited, Trey Lance getting drafted. Now that that's very clearly not the case from what we've seen on social media, he came down hard on Trey Lance with his take before, and it's an interesting situation that I don't think a hot taker has necessarily been in before.
Do you guys care when your hot taker opinion is compromised? Because I've got precious little proof that anyone cares. He's actually said, Cowherd has said publicly that there's value in wrong. That it's a
he's a volume shooter.
There's value in having to go at big markets as well, I think he said.
Oh, he is so calculated. He doesn't care if he's right. I'm sure he would prefer he's right about his take, but what he generally cares about is, does it make hay? Do you get engaged with it? Does he make you care about what he is saying? And he is as good and calculated as anybody in the industry.
We're not exactly farmers around here. Make hay. Are you familiar with where it is, the starting point on making hay?
I regret saying it because I was like, Dan's going to seize on this because who says this anymore?
That is not the Trey Lance story I thought you guys were going to bring up.
Do you have one?
Nah.
Let's do the useless sound montage.
As pathetic as that was today, I've been around long enough to know that where that is and where we need to be, the distance is not that far.
We didn't run the ball worth a darn today.
I'll tell you what, Aaron Jones, man, he was absolutely electric.
Send the math. Send the math. You guys should appreciate the analytics.
They never gave up. They never lost hope. They won't ever.
We'll never know if I got in or not, but I did get in, so got to face the fact.
Really proud of the way the guys competed here. This is a great, football city, football environment.
This is a great football crowd, that's for sure.
The crowd obviously frustrated at times, but can you just give me a sense of overall?
I don't blame them. I mean, heck, I was booing myself.
Have you ever heard a crowd count down the play clock, and did that help or hurt you at that moment?
That was, I guess that was helpful if needed.
We did not execute each play with the detail I think that we should have.
It's got to be better. You know, this was better than week one, but we got to be better than this.
I've got to play better. There's no doubt about that. I think as a group, we all have to play better too.
It's painful, but it is.
Wednesday's practice was was okay, but Thursday, we were where we needed to be.
Usually, I've just lost, and I'm super hungover on Sundays in Vegas, so this was a good change up.
We're going to have our eyes up. We're going to move forward the right way. I'm really proud of the resilience.
A lot of football left to be played.
It's very rewarding when you watch your football team. Don't blink.
I just learned that this group is eager to win.
I thought we had a chance, man.
We created some of our own adversity.
Listen, I'm fired up.
We have to learn how to win, and it starts with me.
First win, it was always great to win. That's first and foremost.
All I really care about is the cheers at the end because we won.
Haven't been doing this that long, but I've been doing it long enough to know you never take a win for granted in this league.
You know, they're a group that really specializes in minimizing big plays, splash plays defensively. That's been their calling card.
Just like them, we expected to win this game.
What's the most important thing is, like, our team pulled our tail off.
They don't make many like this guy. He is one of a kind.
When it comes to one-trick ponies, I am kind of a one-trick pony.
You know, I've been around some basketball players.
The reality of the National Football League is the game is never over until it's over.
Rare for an NFL head coach to say super hungover when I'm in Vegas. That's Cliff Kingsbury. Mike, did you roll your eyes at Russell Wilson with the fake laugh when asked about the crowd counting down the clock, saying it helpful if needed? Just sort of scrambling in the pocket on how do I say nothing?
That was Nathaniel Hackett that was saying that. And Tony and I feel very passionately about how bad Nathaniel Hackett has been and how it's Freddie Kitchens redux right now. And it got us thinking. Where is Freddie Kitchens right now? Because it was a good question. He is now with Shane Beamer. Come on now, Phil. Come on, Phil. He is on the Gamecock staff, Freddie Kitchens, and Nathaniel Hackett better shape up or else he might find himself in South Carolina alongside Freddie Kitchens because this is as bad and embarrassing as a head coaching start. Granted, he is 1-1. But everybody yelling at their TV that this guy's bad at his job because he can't nail the most remedial stuff is really embarrassing.
I like to think of myself as a pretty lax commissioner when it comes to the bucket of death, but there seems to be funny business going on out there, and Greg has to draw soon, but they are rummaging around and playing with the helmets at the green screen.
I just heard Stugat say aloud, who's their biggest favorites this week?
Yeah.
That is exactly how Stugat would subtly try to pull off a scam. By just publicly, it's like the Brett Favre texts of is anyone going to find out that where this money is coming from? Stugat's asking who's the biggest. Who Stugat's searching for information tells you that he's up to a scam. But it was Russell Wilson after Hackett who didn't know how to react to the question of, and it was well framed, was it helpful or hurtful that the crowd was chanting down the play clock? And his response is, because he doesn't want to be a headline, it's helpful if needed.
That's Russ. Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don Lebatard.
Cody decides to give his opinions on things right when we're coming back. He started yammering about, don't you hate the phrase controlling your own destiny? Destiny can't be controlled.
Right. It's an oxymoron.
Stugatz.
I fully thought you were to go in with take the oxy out of it. That's what you are. I didn't say it. I'm saying that's something that Dan would say.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
I love you. You didn't say I love you back. You're mad at me.
Oh, no. That is, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Stugatz throw out I love yous only to get I love yous back?
Greg, I love you.
I love you.
Okay. Feel better now.
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I have questions about this LeBron picture that's going around Twitter. What's that, Billy? Is there video? Is there more to it than just this? Like, is this a still of something else? Because I'm looking closely and it looks like there's like a little halo around the top of his head.
Yeah. You think he's wearing a bald cap like Greg Cody's Steve Harvey?
No, I think that maybe, again, unless there's video and I don't have all the information, I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a little Photoshop thing. And I don't know what the intention is, other than maybe let's float it out there and see what people's reaction is to LeBron with a shaved head if he's thinking of doing it. Let's see if people like it or not, and then I could do it. Or maybe just like, you know, people were talking about the NFL today, so let's get some attention back, you know? But there's something going on around the top of his head against that white wall.
There's like some fuzz. He still looks like he has a little bit of hair.
There's something there that just has me a little skeptical here.
You think LeBron is thirsty for attention in the middle of the NFL season?
No, I know LeBron is thirsty for attention.
And you think so thirsty that he might be faking it as a viral, trying to get everyone talking about him finally after all of these years.
We're talking about it, Dan.
Losing the fight against his hairline. Even Michael Jordan wins even there. He helped make bald cool. And
well, Kojak did it first, let's be honest.
Thank you. And before that, Yul Brynner.
Yep.
Maybe there's a filter going on here.
You look more like Yul Brynner than you do like Steve Harvey.
It's hard for him to pull off Steve Harvey. I mean,
you know who I am without the mustache? You want me to do it?
Who?
Pitbull. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
You thought that was going to work better. You thought the room
really
was going to react. You thought the room was going to be shocked at how you had gone so seamlessly from Steve Martin to suddenly looking like Armando.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it one more time.
Steve Harvey, by the way, not Steve Harvey.
Yeah, that's a fine.
I don't believe Greg shaved his head either.
I didn't.
Did you guys see what it is that Justin Fields said, which is not the thing that you can say when you're the quarterback that a city doesn't love or trust?
You thought it was dumb, Billy? I thought nothing of it, but I guess sports fans are going to be super passionate. He said that, I know we care more in the locker room than fans because we're putting in the work.
No, let me get the quote exactly right.
You can't
right.
say that. You just can't
He said, it hurts more in the locker room than to Bears fans because at the end of the day, they're not the ones putting in the work.
No, you can't say that.
Also. Yeah.
It is true. I wanted to quote him directly. I wanted to get the quote right if we're going to make fun of him.
I don't understand fans getting mad at that. Like, if a Dolphins player came out and said, we do all the work, you guys, like, your anger doesn't really mean anything, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense.
Does he get labeled as a guy that doesn't care enough about it? Is that something that they've hit the Bears with, that they're losing because they don't care enough?
There's no need to say it. Fans do put in the work, by the way.
And the money.
They do.
Work.
But you work.
The money, I'm with you. I just spent a lot of money on Dolphins tickets.
You work all week, some people, to afford to be able to buy tickets to go to the games. You also work all week to keep that slot, that 1 o'clock slot for the Dolphins, right? To keep that slot open so you can watch the game, cheer for your team, root for the Dolphins. You do. You put the work in. You're a fan. Chris, you work at it. You
right,
do.
But you don't respect the idea that Justin Fields says, man, I see the blood and sweat and tears this team is putting into it every week. So I'm sorry if I don't pay more attention to the fans' reaction to what these guys are doing.
You have to pay attention to the fans. Naturally, it goes without saying, they put in the work. They care more about it than we do. But you just can't say that. There's no need to say that.
I don't know that that's the case. I would argue that fans, and App State, let me know if you're with me, I would argue that the fans care more about it than the players because the players are not paying to be there. In fact, they're paid to be there. Where the fans are there and they're grinding day after day, they're going in, clocking out, spending their discretionary income in crazy times where groceries are more expensive than ever, as is gas. They're spending that hard-earned money to support these players.
Right.
Who are there who don't appreciate them back.
He's just trying to get applause from the customer is all he's trying to do.
He's long been the voice of the fan.
It is save the whales and pay the teachers and pay the whales and save the teachers. On
respect
behalf,
the fans.
On behalf of the customers.
Yeah. Stugatz
is going to be man of the people defining how hard work in football looks.
Inflation.
Billy walks a walk. He's the biggest Tua fan that I know. He's the biggest Florida Panthers fan.
I have a jersey on the way.
Let's be honest. Justin Fields has never worked a day in his life. I don't get. Listen.
Well, oh, for the love of God.
I'm Dan, sorry.
Oh, come
Unless
on.
You
come
put on a suit.
Stugatz. He's right.
Got come a little on. 9 to 5. You have not
Stugatz,
worked.
I watched. There was one play late in that game where he was diving for the end zone.
He wears a red jersey. No one touches him.
That was the equivalent of a minor car accident he got into at that goal line collision.
Minor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to say that in Chicago, where generations of Bears fans who were born 30 years before
That's
he was
right.
even born
right.
have
you
been bleeding
him.
Over
in
the
snow.
Chicago Bears team.
The Windy City. Why do you
guys keep and you're going to say that?
At Soldier Field of all places? A place named after our troops? That's what you're going to say
the military.
About the fans?
Yeah.
You guys are the worst.
On Sunday.
The greatest thing about this is just Billy Stugatz and Greg just all they're doing there is making arguments on behalf of how much their voice and opinion should matter. Like they're just, it's just finding ways to make themselves stronger because the way that we care is in any way comparable to the truth that the quarterback of the Bears spoke, which is you don't know how hard it is to do what they do, and yet you feel comfortable because you pay, saying that you care as much as they do.
They don't even pay.
They don't know how hard it is to watch the Bears.
Right,
trust me.
Exactly. And Justin Fields doesn't know how hard it is to sit in Soldier Field in December when it's 40 degrees below zero.
He's playing.
No, but he's not sitting in the stands.
Did you see the 80,000 opening day in Chicago? Braving the weather,
the
rain, the elements.
Those are the real fans.
That's work.
All you hear about is how hard it was to throw the football. Please.
I appreciate, actually, that you're bringing up work again, Stugatz, because I just saw what you tried to do with your super Twitter follow, which is just easy money for you, and you will not lift up a finger to get to pick up easy money. I lifted up a finger.
I handed my phone to Mike. I mean.
It was amazing to watch Stugatz try to figure out how he can ask the audience to just give him money while doing nothing at all.
I'm making picks. I mean, had a great clip. Nine and two week, dude.
9-2, man. Yep.
Trying to steal money from our audience with secret picks instead of giving them parlays in the DraftKings. I am being accused at every turn. This is happening all the time. What would the 2022 Lebatard say to the 2018 Lebatard about what he did with Trump and whether it was worth it as he just slings shitty parlays at his audience? And what I would say to that Dan Lebatard is, you didn't know they were going to be that shitty, the parlays, did you? You didn't know you were going to be so bad at them. Feel free to give our audience some winners for free, Stugatz, as opposed to giving Mike Ryan your phone.
I give it for free.
You did it for 2 weeks, and now you're trying to get him behind a paywall.
I've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, I happen to be on a hot streak.
You're finally winning.
you can't make them pay for it, Dan, after a 1-9. You have to make them pay for it after a 9-1. And that's what I'm doing. And so I handed Mike my phone because I have no idea what goes into having a super Twitter follower account.
Mike Ryan is here to swear by it, though, because he is
Mike's making good money, and I'm jealous.
I was swearing at Twitter for a long time because I could not get any customer service help. But somehow, I finally got paid on super follows, and thank you so much for your patronage. I am here to once again pump up the super followers. Guys, follow for follow number one, and it's such a great atmosphere, such a great environment. You get exclusive videos of me traveling all throughout this nation, touring the great gridiron cathedrals. I'm taking you along every step of the way. Plus, you make your money back because I'm giving you winners.
Attaboy.
It's just
for
wrong.
Just $2.99 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can pay for your investment on my month-over-month earnings.
I tell you, self-promotion is so unbecoming. It really is.
I just like to state for the record, if it were up to me, the picks would be free. The tweets would be free. Because your support is payment enough.
That's right. Billy's got it. Nailed it.
Let me ask the group this question, because as you've seen the craziness happening around the globe in a way that in sports, it spills in ways that are uncomfortable, whether it's somebody at the end of the Cardinals-Raiders game as Kyler Murray goes into the crowd with his helmet off and a Raiders fan just hits him in the face, and now the police are involved, to another story, Stugatz. And I saw this story, and I'm like, because of everything that happened with Duke lacrosse, because of what happened recently with BYU volleyball, you can wait for more information before arriving at whatever the opinion is, even though we've made up our minds a lot of times before we've even got to whatever it is that we're arguing about. But when I just haven't seen this story appear in American football before, where a 49ers defensive end. This is a real story, right? This is not me being ball sacked, where Eric Armstead is saying that Lions lineman Dan Skipper, who was being celebrated very publicly by the Lions as an everyman who finally got his chance and has overcome injuries and practice squads and his journey, the Lions were really celebrating this person. And Eric Armstead says that person's a racist who uses the N-word. And then people are going back and forth arguing about whether it's true or not, because I don't know that it's true, because these people haven't played against each other. They haven't been teammates, and Skipper hasn't played very many games. But it's apparently, I'm not so numb to what's happening all around the world and in America at the moment that in 2022, this story makes an appearance where a football player is saying, yeah, that guy's a racist and uses the N-word. And I want to know if it's true, because how can that be?
So you're asking me?
I'm asking the group.
Oh.
If you won't lift up a finger to take money on super Twitter followers, I'm not looking for you to help me here necessarily.
Well, I don't know if he said it or not.
I don't know if he's a racist.
I don't want to get to the place where I simply don't believe that kind of accusation. I don't think many people would lie about that accusation when you're putting your name on it and publicly bringing that, whatever that is. You guys tell me all the times you've seen this story. As the show that did Weeks 15 years ago about whether Peyton Manning, whether a team would sign him if he was an active Klansman because of how football will compromise its morals for whatever the value is. If this were true of Dan Skipper, he would in no way be valuable enough in any earthly imagination to have a job in the NFL if it were true. But I don't want to say it's untrue either, because the guy has just put his name on an accusation. But as people go through the past of, well, these guys have never played together and Skipper's never made a start before. And also the other question of how can it possibly be that a guy could exist in a locker room with that not being a secret that has to stay inside him, not something that would ever come out loud. How can you exist in an NFL locker room if that weren't any way true?
Right. The news is the next element of the story. What does Dan Skipper say about this? Right. I haven't heard that. I didn't even hear what you were saying until just now.
I found it to be a shocking story, and I don't know how it gets traction on the big NFL shows, because rest assured, if this was being said or accused of players whose names you knew, this would be a big story.
Much bigger story.
Would not be something that nobody would know how to talk about, and how do we handle this, and what do we say about this? There needs to be additional reporting on the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I can't have an opinion without the truth. But again, I will say, in 2022, I'm not so numb to what is happening in this country right now that I look at this story and I'm like, let's just move on. Like, what do you mean, move on?
Well, and there was an incident, actually. I was doing a game this Sunday between Inter Miami and DC United, and there was an accusation from two Inter Miami players that an opposition player said the N-word towards them. And there was a 5-minute stoppage in the game. The official had to go through a racist protocol, and the MLS match commissioner had to come out. And they basically had to come to an agreement because they could not come to terms on, did you say it, did you not say it? There was no way to get proof. That basically the DC United coach subbed the player out as sort of like a peace truce so that we can carry on with the game. But now they're going to have to investigate it, and the player has come out and denied that he said that. And that's the shitty part of it, is that it's the lack of clarity, right? You don't want to besmirch someone's name who's accused of this, because that is a very serious allegation. But then you also don't, like, we want to believe people who hear things, and you want to believe that these accusations are credible. So it's a really difficult spot, and MLS is in a difficult predicament. I imagine the NFL and those teams are in a difficult predicament to actually sort through all the accusations.
I would like the NFL teams to actually come forward and put out a statement saying that they're investigating it, at least in European soccer. In some cases, we had a terrible incident over the weekend in Madrid, where Atletico Madrid fans were just making monkey chants towards Vinicius, and it's something that he has to deal with. And the language coming from Atletico Madrid is not nearly strong enough. You would like for the team to step forward, because this is a very serious accusation, and the Lions should take steps to investigate that and talk to others.
Don't you bring more attention to it? You give it more credence.
You have to.
Well,
yeah,
you have to, though.
Yeah,
Dan.
But
you have to do the right thing.
We have an investigation. Yes. We'll find out what's what.
How is it possible that somebody who hasn't spent the reason that I don't want to question it but have questions is, how does he know? He's in a locker room filled with teammates who were celebrating him after a win on Sunday, and I don't believe that celebration would be that kind of vigorous if Armstead knows something that none of these teammates know. I also don't believe that winning is quite so healing, that if the teammates in the locker room who know this person, who are around this person, know this, or it's an open secret about this person, my guess is I've got questions there on, well, how are you guys managing all this if it is true? And once the Lions open an investigation on something, Mike, that may or may not be true, you invite what happens here with South Carolina boycotting BYU, on us doing confirmation bias on, oh, the fans at BYU have always been a little bit racist. So if someone makes an accusation at BYU that a volleyball game had some racist chants in it, of course we're likely to believe it.
The Duke player, after an investigation, I know the AD came out, spoke to fans' language at the time when everyone thought they were sure that this thing happened, wasn't strong enough. And after an investigation, turned out it wasn't exactly what everybody was led to believe at the start of that scandal. And I think fine. Like, you deal with the week where everyone is almost certain of it because, look, we're talking about it. It's already been invited in with the accusation. So confirm that you're going to look into it. And after you take the ample time to investigate it, release a definitive answer of some sort.
I don't know if the rest of you are as shocked as I am by how craven and overt and how this stuff has gotten so brazen that Rush Limbaugh builds the vehicle that Donald Trump drives over to DeSantis so that all of this stuff can be catered to. And the divisions can become even larger as this leaks into sport in a way that has no subtlety in it. Think about your history covering sports, and you tell me all the other times you have seen this accusation filed this way in an NFL Sunday. Because soccer has had a long history of stupidity, throwing bananas at people and everything else. But an NFL...
You've had it with fans, though. It doesn't, like with it, Boston fans, when, you've had those accusations.
When these things happen, though,
it
doesn't feel like progress. How many decades went on where players just had to be called these things direct to their faces and had no place to go, had no place to share their stories, had no one that would believe them. So right now, I think what's going on culturally and what's going on inside of sports is people are married to their ways and they're fighting like hell to keep them. And the lines have been blurred and people have been emboldened by being somewhat more transparent about their overt beliefs. And I think it's like the cliche, darkest before the dawn. I do feel like these are the seeds of progress, but they're fighting like hell to keep their ways.
Oh, but you say seeds of progress, but it is not a coincidence that after George Floyd marching in the streets, it seemed a hopeful time for others that the backlash would be this blacklash, that what you're seeing over the last 2 years is a violent reinforcing of, no, the power will stay as it is. It will not be given back. The structure, why would I give back this power? No. To all of you, the answer is no. Transgender, women, black people, other minorities, migrants, all of you, the answer is no. I love that as we're talking about this, Greg Cody wanted to say something but had to fix his mustache and went to pull it off and then decided not to say anything at all.
He's also got to go to the bucket of death as well.
All right, let's do this right now. Let's bring the Grim Reaper in here as his mustache falls off now.
Half of it's hanging off. There you go. You got it.
Half the mustache falls off. And as the
great
intro,
transition,
yes, wonderful transition.
I gave you nothing on that. I'm sorry.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. Well.
All right, here we go.
I don't know the answer.
Give me a bolt on my helmet. Give me a bolt.
Bolting it.
Give me a bolt.
If he pulls
or
out,
gold,
it's going to be cheating if he pulls out a Charger over the Jags at -7.
Top five answers. What does the owner of a bakery call his wife?
What? Huh?
Indianapolis.
Wow.
I was Steve Harvey.
They've got
it was the middle of Family
Feud.
They've
got the Kansas City Chiefs.
The number one answer is honey buns.
CBS is keeping that the national game, by the way, despite Bill's Dolphins existing.
If you think I'm keeping the Colts helmet right now.
Get it out of here.
Oh, my God.
Billy, is your head in your hands because of what a terrible Family Feud question that was?
How do you like that Matt Ryan signing right now?
Muffin.
That's another good one. That was in the top five.
Thank you.
Number three, I think.
Broncos.
Sunday Night Football against Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. I know these all off the top of my head because I'm gambling again.
Gambling again.
Cookie.
Better than the Colts. That's all I can say.
Damn it.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah, and they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces.